Blog Talk Radio.
It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, two guys who should not operate a chainsaw without adult supervision. It's Patch and Switch.
Interesting. I don't know quite what to do. let's see here. Switch isn't here. It's only Patch. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. Audio guy. Hey, come over here, would you?
What do you want?
No, come over here. I need you to sit down over here. Sit down. Awesome, man. Put on the headphones. Everybody, please give a round of applause to our audio guy.
What do you want me doing here? No. This is Switch's seat.
Shh. He's not here. It is, in case you don't know, spring break or midwinter break. I don't know what they call it here in the Pacific Northwest. And he's off, and he left us a nice voiceover. But he was going to be coming back, but he didn't make it back for the show. So apparently he must be stuck someplace in underneath a waterfall at Great Wolf Lodge or something like that. So welcome to the big leagues, boys.
Thank you. Okay.
And helping us out here. I see lots of activity in the chat room has already started up. There we go. Good morning and afternoon and evening, wherever you happen to be. And in Esposito, we've got Fire Killer, a couple of guests 548 and 550. Jim, the PEI dude, has managed to dig himself out of a massive snowbank to be able to join us. K.O. Beckman, also on the East Coast, probably dealing with a lot of snow. Sean Lowe, Tom Kupka, and also Vizio MVP. They are the inaugural members of the chat room join us today. And just as a quick little reminder, if you are in the chat room as a guest 548 or 550, you are able to sign up for a free Blog Talk Radio account. So when you sign up for the account, down at the bottom and choose the free option, and then that gives you the ability to have a profile, and you can join in the chat room and share some knowledge of where you are and what you'd like to be known as, and obviously interact with us inside the chat area.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's kind of fun. We're in. I don't know what this sounds like on the other end, because the audio engineer is normally monitoring the audio stream for quality control with a set of headphones, and they're not doing that this time around.
No, they aren't.
So obviously we're going to be relying on the chat room to let us know if the audio drops out or if they can't hear us, whatever it is.
Exactly.
But I'm excited because we are in the very first time live broadcast from the secret bunker, and we're not actually
joking. It's a new secret bunker.
We're not joking. It actually is a secret bunker.
Yes.
In the tweet stream a little while ago, I put up a couple of pictures as we were setting it up in the initial phases, and you graciously decided to come over and help last evening to be able to finish the setup for this.
I did. Oh, I had to know what the audio setup was going to be in here to be right. The audio engineer.
We managed to route the cables correctly. I think they're all plugged in the proper direction. The polarized plugs are all set.
Exactly.
And things are all good.
And I made sure you didn't lick the 220 outlets at all.
Yeah, so, eventually, we might actually include some video with this, but it's kind of comforting. Like, we're actually inside a ex-server room, an old server room. So we have rack and trays above us that have the 208 or 220 volt circuits that are just dangling up above. We've got fiber optic cable. We've got regular cables that are dangling around. We have a glass wall, because this was what they would call a fishbowl viewing room, where you can see all the blinky lights. And as I ran down the hallway to get a cup of coffee, I walked past a whole couple of racks full of servers. I'd say at least a half dozen racks or more full of servers,
right,
that run some of the infrastructure inside this building here.
Well, and not only that, you're sitting in front of the big electrical panels that say, caution, do not put anything in front of these panels.
Yeah, you're not.
So should we move you?
I'm not allowed to cover those stickers up with anything. But,
I've noticed that.
I was trying to block them from the camera view in case we actually have a camera one of these days. But yeah, so according to building code, I'm trying to scooch my way over to the left, away from those massive panels, and I'm being extra careful with my cup of coffee this morning.
Yes, I was wondering if we shouldn't put you on the opposite side of the table from these panels.
You never know. So we actually have the capacity to have guests at this point in time.
We do.
Because we will have four microphones set up because our sister show, Yin Yang and a Bang, which takes place on opposite Fridays, will also be using the room and sharing the room. And, you know, eventually we're going to actually have some real chairs as opposed to these milk crates, and we'll have maybe a stand-up desk and some booms and stuff like that. So,
oh, that would be awesome.
This is all just hobbling and cobbling together the different pieces from different places. I mean, you managed to remember to bring your power supply.
I did.
To the surface today. So that was
I had to actually go back up to my car. I was like, I got to the car, started the car, and went, I forgot my power supply because I'm running the show.
Yeah.
Because I'm the only one with Windows 8.1 still on my Surface Pro 3 right, around here.
Actually, I had to do a presentation the other day, and I had a the public build of TP, I think it was 9926 or something like that,
right,
on my machine. And it was not behaving nicely with the projector. And with the apps, it was actually more around the Internet Explorer issue that I was having that was giving me a little bit of a problem to be able to try to log into the Azure portal to be able to do things. So I'm like, maybe I might need to make myself a Windows to Go stick with 8.1 on it.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
To be able to make sure that things are still working. So it's in there. We got a couple more guests to join us in. Again, don't forget, you can sign up for a free Blog Talk Radio account and then make yourself a profile to sign back in the chat. But hey, man, you know, thanks for
thanks for jumping in at the last minute.
Yeah, thanks for stepping up. You know, maybe we might have to make this a bit more of a regular occurrence or something like that now that we have extra microphones.
Hey, well, you know, I'm willing to jump in where I can.
You got it. So I have absolutely no idea. Normally, as I mentioned, we interact the most with the individual people inside the chat room while we're talking through our various different segments. But if for some reason some person decides to call through, we don't know if we'll hear them. So
we could always try, but
you know, it's, you know, I remember we're trying to get set up and things like that. And then you start moving your stuff around on this table. It's already crowded as it is. And I'm like, don't move anything. We're going to unplug something.
I was careful.
I'll give you credit for that. I'll give you credit for that.
I am an IT guy. I know you don't unplug things at the last minute.
That's very, very true. Or do any kind of firmware upgrades like I did a couple of weeks back as you're waiting for something to go. But if you're joining us now, I think I see a couple of new people that are coming in the rooms. That's good. That's good. We're looking good. A
couple more guests.
Normally, Switch looks after the chat room.
Exactly.
I'm just the colorful commentary.
Oh, I'm keeping an eye on it.
Very nice. Let me see here. Five segments we normally do. Yeah, that's about right. Five segments.
Yep.
So the very first segment normally is From the Trenches.
From the Trenches.
There's no sound for that one.
I know. I need to come up with one since I am the audio engineer.
You know what we should do?
What?
We should take the portable recorder and just step inside the server room to get server room white noise.
We could.
And that could be possibly an intro. We could, like, fade it in and then fade it back out again. It might sound like a vacuum cleaner.
But, it could.
You know, that's an option. And we also noticed yesterday during our sound check that there's this weird ventilation fan.
Up in the corner.
Up in the corner.
It just turns on every once in a while.
It randomly turns on and then off. And it's not part of the air conditioning system.
Exactly.
It is freaking cold here. I think it's still at a balmy 65 degrees or something like that.
Exactly. But there is thermometers right behind, or thermostats right behind you. We could set those.
They won't let me touch them.
They won't let you touch them?
Just like the...
They know you.
Just like the electrical panels, they won't let me touch the thermostats for good reason.
For very good reason,
very,
probably.
Very good reason. From the trenches, do you have any stories from the trenches this week, my friend?
Oh.
That you've done with your job in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I guess, we're upgrading all of our SharePoint farms and running into all sorts of fun configurations that people have done and trying to figure out how to get it to work on new versions, that kind of stuff. But the biggest thing is we've actually been utilizing the Windows Azure Pack.
Oh, yeah?
For our new servers and our new data center. Oh, my goodness, that tool is amazing.
So you're using the WAP, or the Windows Azure Pact. It's kind of like a cloud abstraction layer, if you will, to make it like provisioning and self-provisioning different machines and configurations across your regular virtualization infrastructure inside the data center.
Exactly. And our internal team set it up for us, and normally it takes like... It took, like in the old days, it took like 30 days to get a server in from HP because we're a big HP shop
Oh, yeah.
and get it racked. And then another 2 weeks to get it configured. So it took about 6 weeks to get a server in.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Hyper-V and virtualization, and it was really, really shortened that time down to 2 to 3 weeks
mm-hmm.
because of all the process and you know, filling out paperwork and doing all this.
Nothing like being agile.
I was able to spin up a 12-server farm in 30 minutes with the WAP.
Very nice. It has delegated administration.
Delegated administration.
To the consoles.
Exactly.
Give it to me.
And the they have so many different offerings. They actually, it's a weird thing. They say now, okay, you spin up a base server, then you shut it off, and then you change its size to get the size you need. Because they tried to put all the configurations and all the different domains and all the different things, and the gallery list was like a mile long, and like, we need to change this, so we're going to do it this way.
So from a usability perspective, they had to make it fit inside the UI better.
Exactly.
You know, but WAP is something I've been meaning to get into, but I just honestly haven't gotten around to doing it.
It's amazing what it's capable of, especially around just doing VM, you know, VM management. In a company like ours where we have the virtualization team is separate from all the operations teams or all the service engineering teams. The big thing for us is that we're able to, you know, self-deploy all these servers. The fact that I can self-deploy in like 30 minutes to an hour means, you know what, I don't have to buy 7 servers. I can maybe get away with 3 or 4 and then add one if we start, okay, we're running into a huge load.
Yeah.
I need a server because so many people are hitting HR web today.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're actually looking at dialing back the number of servers we have in our farms and then being able to script a build that includes provisioning from the WAP.
Yep.
And it's all scripted. Wow. Like somebody just executes a script, an hour later, we have a server in the farm.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
PEI Jim Dude was just mentioning in the chat room that he's actually controlling that ventilation fan.
Oh.
He didn't know what that switch was for. I was actually, this made me think about how. It could be maybe an IoT thing, Internet of Things.
It could be.
And then someone's hacked it.
That would be actually kind of funny.
It'd be neat if we had like a web service or a web page you could hit, and then it would be able to turn on various different lights and various signs inside the room or something like that. Another way people could interact with us.
That's a little scary.
It is quite possible.
It's very possible. And as Kyle Beckman has said, I'm emptying a lot of recycle bins lately too.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Recycle bins? I don't get
recycle bins on desktops.
What do you mean?
I tweeted out that I had a job change recently, which I did. I changed from just doing the engineering part of the SharePoint on-prem.
You're like an architect kind of guy or a senior engineer or whatever.
Senior engineer. My boss left, and she kind of just dumped it right in my lap. It's like, here, you're service owner now.
Oh.
So now I have to deal with all the customers and all the, you know, I have a lot
That's
more
good.
It's good. It's
good
growing.
Skills.
It's skills. Skills I already had
because
was a service owner a long time ago.
I don't know, so, man. If you know, we're friends. I've never had the opportunity to have to get services from you before. Like, you know, walk up and say, hey, I need to go off and get blah, 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 or look after this. I think you'd be a pretty nice guy to work with. I'm just not shoveling the BS here right now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be nice.
Like, no, I know. I'm being very nice.
You've got a good personality, but I could probably say that if I was in – I was just about to swear there, but I'm not going to. If I was in poop at this point in time and had to go with you with a problem, I don't know if I'd be scared of you because of your overbearing size and voice level or if you're a big teddy bear. I don't know, man.
Depends. It can depend.
I've only seen the happy Jared. I haven't seen the crazy man.
See, and I'm writing up a blog post, and my former boss, her name's Alia, she was great as being a human shield, blocking me from a lot of the caca de toro.
Understood. Yeah, yeah.
That goes on.
Yep.
And now I'm having to do all that stuff.
Yeah, okay, well.
And, you know, like things like MBR meetings.
Nice.
That's a lot of work to set up for an MBR meeting and set up these slides and, you know, present, you know, and sit through all these other presentations so you can present your 5 minutes of what you're doing.
Your 5 minutes of two slides of 8-point font.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then getting yelled at because there's too much information on the slide, but they want all that information on the slide.
Of
so
course.
It's like, okay.
I try to stay away from MBRs as much as possible, but
like,
they're necessary evil.
It is. And like Fire Killer said, service ownership is great, except for the users. So.
Nice. Well, on my side of the fence, I've actually had some fun working with some customers just the other day.
Oh, really?
Getting back into my PowerShell craziness and automation craziness hands-on. So we're doing like a hackfest with a customer around doing some provisioning of systems, that sort of stuff, and trying to move more to the to a DevOps-oriented fashion, leaning on the ops side of things. So a customer would have a solution that they provide to their customers externally, and they wanted to spin up a new environment. How is the most efficient way they could spin it up and have that level of automation take place? And is it private? Is it public? And that sort of stuff. So,
oh, interesting.
Lots of fun things.
That is.
You know, like basically build everything from scratch to duplicate environment one and then times 50. Bing, 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 bing.
Well, and that's kind of what we're looking to do.
Yeah, you know, same
kind of thing. So since you're doing that, I should
it's fun.
Get an engagement.
You know, there's this functionality. You know, we're not using desired state configuration or DSC at this point in time.
Right.
We're using simply what's known in Azure as an extension. So basically, when you make a VM in Azure, you can load the extensions, and there's some of the extensions are things like, you know, anti-malware that can be included with that.
Oh yeah, yeah,
I've seen
that.
Be like a Chef client or a Docker client, or not a Docker client, a Chef client or
Chef
a Puppet client, to have automation take place. There's also one that is a PowerShell extension.
Oh.
And so basically you can have it execute a PowerShell script.
Oh, nice.
So you have a vanilla image, and then it can execute a PowerShell script to do stuff.
And it makes it a chocolate image then?
It's, well, not a chocolate image. It doesn't use chocolatey.
It doesn't use chocolatey? Why not?
I don't know, man. In this case, it's going through and it's running something like a PowerShell script that will go through and promote and install server manager tools to be able to go in and to do a DC promo. It adds Active Directory, does a silent Active Directory install, reboots the stuff. Another guy does some SQL configuration skips to configure SQL afterwards.
Oh, nice.
Another one deploys a website that talks to that SQL server. So it's pretty involved. When you kick off the script, it goes off and it runs maybe for give or take, you know, 15, 20 minutes. It can take anywhere from 25 minutes up to an hour based on what's going on in the system at the time.
Oh, and interesting.
And it's exactly identical every single time they fire it off.
See, and that's something that people may say, oh, that's great, you know, automation. That is kind of, that is DevOps. That's, you know, operations team, you know, developing their own deployment systems to make that easier to deploy the packages they get from their engineering teams.
And the important part is that it completes the loop, right?
Exactly.
It allows them to then go and give telemetry information and give other information back to the dev team that go out and make changes, and then they get rock around again. It's a big loving circle of life,
it is,
as I like to say, for what happens to it. So that's been my kind of fun that I've been doing in the last little while.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
And because of how rusty I am, I'm going to be making a pledge to myself that I will be spending probably at least half an hour, if not an hour, a day I'm going to dedicate to this, going through and attacking problems with PowerShell in a more automated fashion and then documenting it. Because it's so easy to pick back up again, but it's also just so easy for a lot of stuff that I've been doing just to default to using and showing some of the GUI stuff. Because a lot of stuff that what I do is I show people things and I talk about stuff. Mm-hmm. And for them, for being more visual, you know, what's more visual?
Yeah.
A command prompt?
Or a GUI.
Or a GUI. So
of course,
they want to conceptualize and see things with the GUI, but then to actually do stuff, I want to go off and use PowerShell, obviously.
Exactly.
I've got to do a mea culpa, and I've got to start spending more time on the command line again.
I will say this. I've forced myself to stop using the command prompt as much as I can. So I've learned two commands that replace a whole bunch of things that I used to do in the command prompt.
Oh, yeah?
Test connection.
Yeah, test. That's a good one.
Gets rid of ping.
Oh yeah, I love that one.
And clear-DNS client cache.
Okay. Yeah.
That replaces your ipconfig/flushdns.
Yeah, that's always very good for troubleshooting.
And because those are the big two things I use in command prompt a lot of times.
Yep.
I'm forcing myself to do it in PowerShell.
Yeah. So I don't know if I want to go as far as speeding through an accelerated version of the 30 lunches. PowerShell.
Yeah.
Because I've already gone through it before, but it's a good refresher on different things.
It is.
And so that one, there's an option. And then there's obviously also, if you look at Channel 9, there's lots of different sessions that Mr. Snover or Greg Shields or Don Jones or Mr. Hicks, you know, all those guys and gals that go off and do the PowerShell stuff. There's a lot of online recordings about different versions and different things you can go off and catch up on. So, and then obviously there's a phenomenal
PowerShell DSC discussion going on as a Microsoft Jumpstart coming up in about a week's time, I do believe.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
With Mr. Snover. And I believe it's not Hicks. It's I should know this. It's not Don either. I forget. Anyway,
You don't know?
No, I'm drawing a blank. I've only had half a cup of coffee, man. Anyway,
you wouldn't even get me a cup.
Sorry.
You just like, I need a cup of coffee, just ran.
If you go to MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com, you'll see it in one of the banners because they're coming up soon. So
okay.
I apologize for that. I do want to do a little shout out to back the chat room again. We got some new people joining us there. We've got Mike77 or MKE077's in there. And look, Mr.
Peter
Bartolo has joined us from the Mighty TO.
And we got
McGadget. Oh, McGadget's arrived too.
Yep.
Harjit from Vermont, I do believe.
Yes.
Probably also snowed under. Everyone snowed under.
Snowed under except us.
You know, I wish we had snow.
And we had we have no snow in the room.
There's no snow in the room, although it's cold enough to have snow.
Mm-hmm.
all of the ski hills that I've been hearing, I'm so glad I did not buy a season's pass this year.
It's been horrible around
here. Apparently just like dodging and jumping mole hills and rocks
and trees.
And so it's not very good for the snow season over here out west.
Nope.
So that's not good.
No.
Oh, and look, Peter or MKE077 is just saying it's just starting to snow again.
In Milwaukee.
He is.
He's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin there.
Oh, yes. Work-wise, my pledge is I will be spending some time. I'll give you guys an update in 2 weeks' time with regards to how that is progressing. And also, obviously, you can follow the blog at regularitguy.com just to see my commiseration of trying to get back. It's almost, you know, it's like going to a workout routine.
Yeah.
Like having to get into a routine of doing it, right?
Exactly.
It's like the first 3 weeks.
Irony that you bring that up.
You know, first 3 weeks kind of suck to get into it, but then after that, you're good again.
And then it's tough to, you got to keep it going. You can't just stop and restart.
No.
As we know on the workout routine.
You got to keep on going.
Yes.
For sure. Let me see here.
All right. So what's after?
After this one here is blog. No, it's not that one. It's beer money.
Beer money.
Beer.
Oh,
money.
Beer money.
We do have a sound for that one.
Yes, we do.
Can you hit the play button over there?
I can hit the play button.
You got it. There it is.
There it is.
It's coming.
Oh, there.
That's really loud.
Sounds really good.
It does sound good. To me, that doesn't sound like a beer anymore. I don't know. That sounds like a Coca-Cola commercial.
Yeah, okay.
But who knows?
Could it be because you have a kegerator in your house and you don't need to open bottles
just,
all the time?
I just pull on the tap. The sound I have is like, thunk, as you pull the tap handle forward. Beer money stuff.
Beer money stuff.
Hmm.
So what have you been doing for beer money?
Beer money-wise, I've been promising to reimage and bring over the image of my wife's laptop to a new SSD drive for a while now.
Yep.
And I can't find the proper security screwdriver to remove the screws on the case of the system.
You're kidding me.
It's got one of those funky, it's not one of the standard stars or
multiple. Is it like a
stars.
Five-star thing or
no,
instead
I've
of a six?
No, I've got a whole set of jeweler screwdrivers, the five-star ones. It's got like a security pin on them. It's got like a hole. It's like a five-star with a hole in it or something like that?
Oh, HP did that.
Yeah.
Is it an HP laptop?
I think it's an Acer, actually.
Okay. Yeah, somebody did that. HP was notorious for doing that.
And it's like, come on, man.
Yeah. I know some people that have ground out that little security pin so they can use.
Well, you know me and power tools and computers. I don't know if you want to do that. So
I'm surprised you haven't done it yet.
Yeah. I'm being very cheap about this too. There is a nice blog post actually written up by my good friend Pierre Romain up in Can IT Pro Land about how to keep that new fresh laptop smell. And basically, it's using ImageX capabilities to be able to go in and to take an image of the drive that's currently in the system by using an externally attached USB drive inside of a chassis and then go through and take the image across as if you're doing like a workstation deployment, if you will, for prepping and working with the deployment capability, the deployment tools.
Oh, okay.
The Wake, Windows AI, called the Wake, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then you can go through and swap the hardware and then do some magical voodoo, and then it just magically works. So
and it just magically works.
It just magically works. But the, I'm being blocked by the physical right now. So okay. I got to get the physical thing worked out before I can actually go ahead and do that.
Well, Sean Lowe's saying you can get one of those screwdrivers at Home Depot.
I haven't actually. I've been looking online, and it's just been too lazy to go and order them.
Well, why don't you go to Home Depot's
the
on the way home?
Has got one. Yes. There you go.
And Kyle Beckman says iFixit usually has those oddball screwdrivers. So if you can't get it at Home Depot, go home and look at iFixit.com.
Oh yeah.
Even though that's more of a fruit device fix site.
You know, it's very true, very true. You know, at least I'm blessed with the fact that hardware's replaceable, right?
I've
got some friends that have some of those other devices of unnamed manufacturers, and they're like physically soldering in things like memory sticks and other things like that, or a very specific hardware firmware that have to be in place for hard drives to make them work and boot.
Oh, so, God, yeah.
So, you know, so still thankfully that's all good.
Yep.
Someone was saying, I remember the last show, maybe it was K.O. Beckman or something like that, was saying about taking apart a Surface Pro 3, or was that Sean Lowe?
That was Sean Lowe, I believe, that did that. He took apart
a Surface Pro
Surface
3.
Pro 3.
Dude, if I ever have a problem with my Surface Pro 3, I'm going to go visit you, I think, to go see what it is, because that would be good. We were actually going to be running this show on a Surface Pro 1, the original Surface.
Yes, you were going to stick me with that Surface Pro 1. I mean, allow me to use the Surface Pro 1.
No, but I'm thinking because we can actually leave this room set up. I'm thinking about leaving the Surface Pro 1.
Oh.
Maybe even driving a slideshow of what, I don't know, on the monitor. Random tweets that come up. If anyone tweets at Sign Patch and Switch, maybe it'll just come up on the screen or something like that.
You must be a Microsoftie wanting a slideshow.
I know, man. It's just cool stuff. Two challenges with that.
First
challenge is I don't have the power supply for it. I need to find it. I think I left it in one of the conference rooms somewhere.
Okay.
Which is always fun. And then the second challenge is just had the fact that I have to leave it here because I still kind of use it for things. Oh, There's
the fan.
Jim, turn off the fan, please. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Okay, it's bothersome when you just flip the switch like that. You know that.
It scares me, man.
I know. Sean Lowe says it was the Surface Pro 2, not the 3. So.
Oh, they took apart?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, well, see, the 3 to me is, I don't know. It's
the 2 and the 3. I mean, the 2 is a lot smaller than the 1. The 1 is like a tank, and I think you could easily probably pull that thing apart. But.
I don't know, man. I can't even see the screws on this thing.
Yeah. He has a 3 that he needs to fix, though.
Oh, yeah?
Jim, that's not nice.
Yeah,
really.
Like, you know, I don't even know where you'd open this thing up. I'm just looking at it.
I'm surprised you haven't figured out by dropping it or something.
No,
like that.
It's been relatively safe. been relatively safe. So, anyway, that's a project for another day. Maybe I'll do the Windows to Go stick for that. But the biggest challenge is that I can't find my
power supply.
No. Well, power supply is one. The other challenge I have is I can't find my darn USB 3 hub anywhere. Like, I've got my powered hub that I leave at my desk, but
right.
I have, like, a travel version. But it's gone MIA ever since Barcelona, when I was in Barcelona.
Hmm.
And so my lovely little 5 USB travel powered USB 3 hub is gone MIA.
Hmm.
Weird. Very strange. I've always been ogling your diamond one you've let me use a couple of times.
Yes, you have ogled it. I've almost wanted to call an adult a couple times.
Yeah, the fact that it has the USB as well as having the Ethernet controller on it does seem to be quite good. And you're saying that one there will work for doing boot and Pixie boot stuff like that?
Yep, it worked on a Pixie boot.
For a Surface Pro 3.
Yeah,
that's on the list, I think, for some random spending.
Yeah, it's not bad.
What about
and
you,
it was
man?
Only like $40, too.
How about you for some beer money talk? Have you done any... done any home and tech support for you and for friends and for family in the last couple of weeks?
Well, I've had to help my mother out a few times with her machine. I finally – I was having some problems trying to get it to back up actually with a crash plan to my server at home. Because crash plan could actually back up. You can actually – with crash plan, you could back up to a friend's house. So like if you were running a crash plan server and I was running a crash plan server, we could –
alternate disaster recovery.
Exactly.
To be able to have the data separated by
distance.
5 miles, 10 miles, whatever it is.
Exactly. And,
very nice.
And I was taking it, it was having issues. And I finally figured out what the problem was.
You didn't have a port open?
No. her ISP keeps changing IP ranges, and so I had to keep adding all these IP ranges that I could access, because I'm restricting the access to it by IP range.
Yeah.
And it kept changing, I finally set up dynamic...
You worried someone's going to randomly back up to your drive or something?
Oh, I don't want people to randomly connect to my CrashPlan server.
Oh, okay. Because they're actively scanning for CrashPlan.
They could actively be scanning, yes.
Okay.
But I didn't even think about it. I set up her router to use dynamic DNS. And then I have my firewall say anybody from this dynamic DNS name can connect through. Well, when her IP changes...
Doesn't work.
Huh?
It doesn't work?
No, it does now.
Okay.
So whenever IP changes, it may not work for like a couple hours,
until
and then it works.
Up.
Yeah, yeah, until
yeah.
It catches up. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I see we got Tom Kupka has joined us there as well in the chat room. Nice to see you there, Tom. A couple more guests have popped in, and yeah, I think I'm kind of catching up with those. This is kind of tough. I don't know how
Tom's
you guys...
Tom's been here since the beginning. You didn't see him. Yeah.
I'm not used to doing this.
And
oh, I see that Mike, MKE077, has actually listed a iFixit.com link for how to tear down a Microsoft Surface Pro 3.
Surface Pro teardown
link as well. Kind of very, very cool. And Sean Lowe is actually looking to step up and probably looking for volunteers for people to give him a Surface Pro 3 to tear it down. I'll just leave that one there.
Yeah.
I'm not touching that one.
Exactly.
I'm curious, have you have any experience using client backup for Windows up to an Azure storage account at all?
I haven't tried that yet.
Because ever since I've decommissioned my lonely... Windows home server device that I had at home.
Yes.
It's gotten quieter in my house because I was used to use a Dell R820 or R something around.
Is that why that whining stopped?
It was big. It was.
Oh my
it had
goodness.
A lot of fans. and probably, I think it had like a 1500 watt power supply plus all the fans, and still it was so loud. The lights would dim when I go through the post process.
Exactly.
And it would spin up the fans.
Yeah.
Anyway, I took that guy offline and, I'm now just using a NAS device to be able to keep my drives and my files, and then I'm lacking on a backup option.
Yeah.
So I've been contemplating actually using the client Windows server or sorry, client backup for Windows up to a storage account on Azure.
Now the way I do backup differently for my clients.
Yeah.
Because I have a file server in my house. I back that up with CrashPlan to an external USB hard drive and then up to their servers encrypted.
Okay.
Because I pay a flat fee for unlimited storage. So it's like, don't have to pay for storage? Okay. But my clients, I basically keep all my documents either in OneDrive now or OneDrive for Business, which then synchronizes with my server. So the only thing I really need to do on a client to rebuild it is just, frankly, reinstall everything.
Yeah.
So I'm now at the point where I just keep the drivers on my server. And if I need to flatten and rebuild a client, I just flatten and rebuild it.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I don't even have to think about it anymore.
Hmm.
And it's even easier like with my Surface Pro 3 because I just do the reset.
Yeah.
You know, with Windows 8 and 8.1 and 10, that reset is just amazing.
Yep.
So
I see Tom has been very – yeah, Tom is nice in the chat room. He says, yeah, I've been hiding at the bottom. You have to scroll down. The joys of having a name. I'm the same boat, man, with an R. I'm always at the bottom of the list.
Exactly.
Always last for attendance in school as well. Back in the old days when we used to call attendance. That's it for Beer Money, man. So that brings up the next one, which is obviously going to be a little bit of beer talk.
Beer talk.
Unofficial fifth segment that we happen to have, beer talk.
Beer talk.
I
feel like we should bust out another beer.
Oh. Yeah. It's we've been brewing quite a lot.
Oh my goodness, we're brewing a lot.
I think last time we checked in, I was just about to do the lager. The lagers came out quite well.
Yes, they have.
It's tasting beautiful, I will say. It's not done fermentation yet.
No.
But it's definitely tasting beautiful. Soon, with a lager, because it ferments so low, you want to bump up the temperature for the last day or two to be able to do a diacetic rest, which makes it so it just finishes it off faster and prevents any off flavors.
Excellent.
And then you start to lager it and you bring it down. So I haven't started that yet because it's not ready. I was hoping to do it this weekend.
Okay.
But I know that you are contemplating doing a brew this weekend.
I am.
And it's surprise, surprise. Drum roll, please.
A Scotch ale. This time I'm not going to do it in the bourbon barrel. Last time it came out very sweet. So that's why we put it in the bourbon barrel. And when it came out of the bourbon barrel, it was tasting wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
I think we might even put that small keg on, or no, which one we're gonna take the small keg to the homebrew festival.
Don't say that.
Oh,
don't say that. You're supposed to give them.
Oh,
full
we're gonna
five
get
gallon.
The full. Yes,
give them the full
5 gallon.
5 gallon.
Can. Yes.
And then save the other one for us.
Yeah. So, but we might try the other one out because it's been under carbonation for 2 weeks now.
Yep.
It's been.
It hasn't been carbonated, man. It's just sitting there.
Oh, I thought we put it under carbonation.
No, we haven't done the carbonation yet.
Oh, well, son of a gun.
We could have. If we did carbonate, we could have been drinking it this weekend.
Dude, I thought you carbonated it. Dang
we
it.
We did carbonate. Oh. You got to tell me these things.
Okay.
Do them.
All right. So we'll probably put it under carbonation and see how it tastes after we get it carbonated.
Yeah. And again, it's the longer that it sits, the better.
Yeah.
And then our friend, Mr. Cowper from the Cooperage and his lovely wife are going to be doing a golden ale well. So we're going to do a double brew on Sunday. We'll see.
Yeah.
And I've got an interesting thing. I've got a friend back in
You've
Ottawa.
You've got a friend?
Back in Ottawa.
Oh, okay.
Who's looking to get into brewing.
Oh, interesting.
And they're kind of underfunded, but they just are, you know,
starting
a different headspace from where we are for the amount of ridiculous money that we spend on stuff. So I've been thinking about trying to get a big pot, like a 10-gallon pot, over to him to be able to have as his primary pot. Because I don't know, but I have my first pot. I still have it.
Yep.
It's full of holes because they took
all the pieces out of it. Yeah.
It's going to cost more to put the stuff back onto it and ship a massive pot back to him
than just to order
just
one.
Buy one.
Yeah.
So
I have no doubt.
Buy one.
Yeah.
As one option.
By the way, we need to fill those holes so we can use that pot again.
Well, no, because we have. I'm talking my first, my real first pot.
I know.
We don't use that pot.
Yes, we could. We could put like clams and oysters and crabs and boil it while we're pouring the beer. We could boil some seafood.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do that. But that's one conundrum I have is do I fix up the old or just simply buy new? I'm thinking I'm leaning more towards the buy new for them.
To help them out. Yeah.
But then I was shocked to find out.
J-Shock?
No, supplies. I'm just so used to being able to go down to the store and buy some supplies, and there's no real good brew stores that I could find online back in Ottawa.
No, there isn't.
For homebrew stuff.
No. And
but I did find an awesome Canadian-based online ordering option.
Oh, good.
That has lots of supplies. They're actually based in Ontario, but it's in some small town someplace. And they're basically trying to corner the market because all the big places are in the States, and it just costs insane amount of money to ship stuff
over the border.
Yep. And even Amazon.ca, like the same pot from Amazon.com costs like, you know, $180.
Mm-hmm.
The same pot costs like $400.
Exactly.
Because they just don't want to ship it.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It
is. Absolutely crazy. So that was my particular first part of the beer side of things. But,
oh, excellent. That should be fun.
I'm hoping that my lager wraps up. Hoping that we have fun doing our brew. We have to do a water run to the secret water
bowl
for all that water. And then looking to figure out what I'm going to do for my buddy for setting him up for some equipment. There is a craft brewery that's in town that he's working at, but he's only working the bottling line.
He's working the bottling line.
And he wants to move out of the bottling and then work into the brewing side of things, obviously. So, you know, get him into the all grain and have him get some experience to be able to do that.
Exactly.
That's the plan. I mean, we have to get our act together, man. We keep on tweaking these recipes all the time.
Yeah.
We actually have to lock in and do some reproducible stuff with these recipes, I think.
Well, and part of that also is not only get the reproducible, we've got to get some more kegs and some more
carboys. I think we need to start a keg donation fund.
Oh, we could. A Kickstarter.
A keg
Kickstarter.
I don't have a website for that.
Or we could get a Patreon and then have people just, hey, you want a keg of beer? Here, you got to.
Yeah, kind of somehow, you know, legalese you got to worry about for that one there, I think. But,
damn.
You know, the damn law stuff that's going on.
Exactly. It looks like Peter's going to a bourbon festival this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
It is. You know, not only has there been a lot of craft brewery places popping up in the area here, as along with the wineries, there's also a whole bunch of distilleries, finding out.
Yeah, I think they've lightened the laws for what was required to get an official distiller's license.
Yeah.
And it's easier to start them up these days.
In fact, the bourbon barrel we utilized was from Woodinville Whiskey.
Yep.
Who's out in Woodinville, but imagine that.
I never would have noticed that one.
But he's making an infused bourbon. Okay. Oh, interesting. Nice. So we're gonna have to try and figure out some way to get some kegs to Chicago.
It's hard.
I know.
It's very hard to transport liquor across state lines.
It is.
I feel like I'm some kind of a bootlegger or something like that.
You are a bootlegger, but that's okay.
That would be a bit of a challenge, I think. My bootlegger possibility.
Yeah.
The art of being able to reproduce a good beer is probably the most elusive part of it.
Yep.
My issue is trying to find the recipe that I want and tweak it to the way that I want.
Exactly. And then once we get that, then keeping consistent temperature.
Yeah.
And with our new equipment, though,
it's a lot easier.
It's a lot easier. Bruce, that we were just discussing, he actually made a device that sits where in line with the pump that we bought, which continuously keeps the water moving through the grains, and it keeps it maintains the temperature.
Yeah, which is one of the key variables that can contribute to a reproducible recipe for sure.
Exactly.
Oh, breaking news, Mike MKE. I always want to call him
Peter.
Mike.
You always want to call him Mike.
Peter is saying that he's got a connection for a friend of his that actually sells used bourbon barrel availabilities.
Uh-huh.
So you can actually go and order barrels and lucrative business. I will definitely say that Woodinville Whiskey Place that has that bourbon barrel
right.
Didn't seem like they wanted to let their bourbon barrels go all that easily.
They actually, according to Bruce, they actually have customers like Bellevue Brewing and others that are already snatching them up. And
of course. It's the current trend is exactly. To be able to put beer inside stuff to be able to go.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, well.
As Peter's pointing out, MKE equals Milwaukee, because that's the airport code.
So, like, CDN is Canada for my Twitter handle?
Yes.
Okay. I could see that working.
Okay.
I could see that working.
Does that make a little sense now?
I've never been to Milwaukee before.
You've never... You know what? Starting July, Alaska Airlines has direct flights from Seattle to Milwaukee.
Well,
we should then go and hang out and visit all the craft breweries.
Because one thing I will definitely say, I've been to most conference towns.
Yes,
across the state, but I haven't been to a lot of other places yet, so I'm looking forward to.
We could go visit. There's I took a week last year. Was it last year or in 2013? I took a week when spent it out in. Well, it took 2 weeks because I went to a Green Bay Packer game with my nephew, who's a big Green Bay Packer fan.
Yep.
And it was always his dream. Got to go. We got seats. It was it was a good time. And then I spent the remainder of the 2 weeks going down and hanging out with Mr. Peter and Mr. Bender down in the south end of the state. And we visited a different brewery every day. And it pretty much, I think, wrecked me for a while.
Yeah.
Worse than any of the conferences do.
Nice. Oh, we have a late joiner. It looks like the lovely Ms. Veronica has joined us
Ms. Veronica.
Online in the chat room. Good to see you.
It's good to see her.
While.
Yeah, she's been...
They're busy.
A little busy.
Busy on the MS Learning side of things.
Exactly. And she didn't bring us any Chinese food for the Super Bowl party like she said she would.
Yeah, she's busy.
She was
down at another friend's house to be able to watch that.
Yeah.
And there was tons of food at the Super Bowl party that we had anyway. So
oh my God.
It was good.
That was way too much food. I went home and just was having
food coma.
Beyond food coma.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had good beer and good food. So yeah.
Very fun. Very, very fun. I think that's kind of wrapped up the beer talk section.
That was fast. That felt like it was fast.
You know,
did we rush it a little?
We'll talk funny.
We always talk funny.
Let's talk about Switch. Switch.
Let's talk about Switch. Oh, let's talk about him behind his back.
He's not here. He doesn't listen to the show anyway.
Okay. excellent.
He's got a hankering to do a coffee porter.
He always
does.
You know, does
he's,
yes.
He's it's combining two of his favorite items on earth.
Beer.
Number one is beer. Number two is black coffee.
I'm waiting for him to like figure out some sort of coffee porter vodka concoction.
Well,
that would just like be the ultimate for him.
That's the clouds part. The sun ray comes down.
Exactly. Oh!
Yeah, so he's still doing a hankering to be able to do one of those. I don't know if it's for the competition or just for personal consumption.
And this is the interesting thing, especially with Mr. Switch, is I'm starting to see his OCD for, like, research.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's just researching and researching.
I've noticed that over the years, and it's just definitely amplified. Like most people that like to use the interwebs for things, the ability to go through and basically find anything you want.
I mean, I do research, but man, he does research.
Oh, yeah, man, he's good.
In awe of
what's
that.
What's holding him back right now is I think he has not found a good
all-grain
recipe that he's happy with as of yet. So he's and I think he wants to do, but he also wants to use the 5-gallon pots. He doesn't want to do a 10-gallon batch.
Mm-hmm.
So just a 5-gallon batch.
Which is almost too small for
our system. Well, it fills one keg, but we don't have any kegs to fill anyway.
Well, then it's not just even filling kegs, but I mean, like our primary pots start at 10 gallons on our measurements.
The 26 gallon pot that we boil in for our 10 gallon boils, there is no room. Basically, you got 2 gallons underneath the screen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to get 3 more on top of that, you're just barely hitting the thermometer joint for where that is. That just wouldn't work.
Exactly. So we almost need to pull, that's why you need to pull out your old. not the first gen, second gen.
Well, we have second gen pots that are waiting and ready to go.
Oh, okay.
And we have a full set.
So I didn't know that.
We have 2 sets of pots. Yeah, we've got the 26 gallons, mash tun and a regular boil pot, and then we also have the 15 gallon ones as well.
For the 5.
For the 5s.
And then your original one was a 12 gallon, right? The
original one was a 12 gallon 4 or 5, which was too small.
So we need to fill those holes, and that's a perfect boil pot for the seafood.
Work.
See how this works?
That could work. That could work.
See, and then we could have, you know, just melt, get a whole bunch of butter melted, and then we'd have to watch smearing again. But you know,
yeah, too much butter, too much other stuff. I don't know. It's
not my smear.
To me, you know why I don't. I'm not a fan of mussels. I'm not a fan of clams.
Oh,
they're steamed for some reason.
Interesting. Just, you want them raw?
No, I'm not into them. Like,
all right,
I don't know what it is. I'd lobster, on the other hand. I thought it was lobster
or crab.
Crab is a lot of work for very rich meat, but it's a lot of work. I'm more of a lobster guy from the East Coast. Lobster, sorry, man.
They're just a large prawn.
Hard shells, right? But definitely with hard shells. I keep on flipping back and forth between these darn windows, and I keep on forgetting to hit this. And there we go.
Oh.
To say that is our next segment, which is known as random spending.
Oh, God.
Have you done any random spending of any kind on technology gadgets and doohickeys and whiz-whaz and wazoos?
Can I actually confess something here?
You have a confession?
I have a confession. Okay, I've got a problem.
Let me dim the lights.
Okay. I don't know if I want this. I think I need an adult. I've got a bad confession. I have a slight problem.
And?
Here, I'll show you the problem.
What is it? He's reaching into his bag. There's Jim turning the fan on again.
Come
on,
Jim,
man.
Thank you for being an adult and turning that on.
Okay, so...
I have a small problem.
Cameras so people can see them.
Here you go.
Oh, I'm sorry, you guys can't see this.
Yeah, exactly.
So in front of me, he has at least three different
tablets
that are 8 inches and smaller.
Yes.
Of a variety of size. Like, 2 of them look identical, man.
Yes, they are actually identical, but they have different operating systems.
So what are you sporting these days?
So I have 2 Stream 7s.
HP Stream 7. I've been hearing 7s. Good things about those.
They're great. I love these little guys.
Yeah.
I have one running Windows 8.1.
Okay.
And I have another one running Windows 10 Tech Preview.
Okay. 9926.
9926, yes.
Cool.
And then I have a Insignia Flex 8.
Insignia.
It's the house brand from Best Buy.
Okay.
And the only reason why I got the Insignia Flex 8, it's got TPM chips in them.
Okay.
Which means, you know, it's a big thing here at Microsoft.
Yeah, you can do a soft smart card.
You can do a virtual smart card.
Yeah.
These Stream 7s can't.
Okay, good point.
So I'm trying to make this kind of a work, but I have to get Enterprise on here somehow, and that's been the pain in my tuchus.
So what's, if you don't mind my asking, like, what's the Insignia cost that you have to pick that up for?
$89.
What?
$89.
An $89 device.
$99. But $99 these are on
the
sale
screens.
Right now for $79.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
But what's the screen like on the Insignia?
The Insignia is as good, if not better, than the
careful with those
screens.
Cables, man. Don't hit those
I
cords.
I know. I'm not hitting the cables. I'm going to hit the cables.
Yeah, because I'm My primary daily driver for phones is my 1020 still.
Yep.
But
there's a reason why I had to do that.
But I'm looking for a. I'm going to a meeting. I want to grab and go something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And this, wow, that's responsive, man.
Isn't it?
I don't know your password. I can't sign in.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing. But, it's light. It works. And it has ports and everything.
Yeah. It's actually got an HDMI port on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mini HDMI.
Okay.
So now the only bad thing about the Insignia is it won't do Miracast. And we're starting to get Miracast in our conference rooms.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the HP Streams would do Miracast.
Hmm.
But I'm looking at, you know, the big thing is, like I said, it's got a TPM. Once I can get Enterprise on here, I could put our image, our Microsoft standard image.
Mm-hmm.
I can – this becomes like a work machine that I could take anywhere.
Okay.
And so I – but like I said, I have a little problem. Like I said, I got three of these now. I even got a wireless – this is that Microsoft Universal Keyboard.
Okay, yeah. I have the predecessor to that one there. I don't have that one there.
That's well, the great thing about this one is technically on the corner it has – you know, it's supposed to be universal, so they have like Windows, iPad, and Android.
A manual switch, basically.
Manual switch.
To choose. Well,
basically, it's just three different Bluetooth profiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got three devices that have Bluetooth.
Oh.
So I was basically assigned each profile to a device.
Okay. That's actually kind of cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you can actually use it with three different devices, no matter what their operating systems.
Very, very cool. We got a couple of questions came up in the chat room there. Sean Lowe was asking if you can buy a Stream 13 Touch and send it to him in Canada. Unfortunately, where that's against international tax laws.
Yes, exactly. Plus, I don't think we're allowed to transport that kind of electronics across border to foreign countries. It's not allowed. Don't want them to, you know, terrorists could use those.
The Stream that you have, that's not the Stream 13.
No, it's a Stream 7.
The Stream 7.
It's not a laptop. It's a
tablet.
Tablet's
larger than a phablet. Doesn't have the other one. And then obviously Anthony Bartolo jumps in there and says he's loving his 930.
Yes.
That he's managed to be able to use and acquire.
And so that was the other thing that I've acquired recently.
Your phablet's 1520
down to the 930. Thanks to Mr. Bartolo.
Yeah, there were some good prices on those ones there just recently. And I actually heard, I have not confirmed this as of yet or not, but I actually heard that Verizon is shipping denim now.
They are. I actually know it.
Yeah? It's been officially confirmed?
It's been officially confirmed via two sources, one being Mary Jo Foley, but the other one being my friend who retired from federal duty that lives up in Alaska.
Yeah.
She got home from China, and she goes, what is this thing about update? Update it. For it.
Yeah, very, very, very good. Quite cool. Very, very cool. And then obviously the Windows 10 tech preview came out for phones publicly, but it's only for the 630, initial
635, 730, 735, 830.
The 500 is on there too. The 520.
No, they aren't. Not on the public.
The first round was the way that they're qualifying it.
Yeah.
Because basically there is an issue with partitioning for what they do with the partition stuff.
Exactly.
More will be coming. Hang in there.
Yep. And, I will say, I know Anthony Bartolo asked me, why didn't I just do a workplace join with my tablets?
Guys. Yeah.
I'm actually looking for something I can connect to our corporate network. Inside Microsoft, we have two Wi-Fi networks, one being the public corporate and network
private.
and one's a open network
that
we're allowed to put personal devices.
Yeah.
I'm actually trying to make this a MSIT managed join device, even though it's a personal device.
Mm-hmm.
And being an MSIT, I kind of can do that.
Yeah, kind of cool, man.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. I'm looking forward to you have to loan me one of those guys, the Insignia, once you got it going. What's the specs on those guys?
The specs.
Like RAM and PROC, they're running the Atom, I'm assuming?
They're running the Atoms. Both of them are running the same Atoms. They're both 1.8 gigahertz quad cores.
Yeah.
They are running, both of them run 1 gig of RAM, not two. I thought the Streams had two, but they only have one.
Yeah.
The one big difference, though, is the Streams have 32 gigs of internal storage, which made it easy to put the Windows 10 Tech Preview on it.
Right.
The Insignia Flex only has a 16 gig internal storage, which means I need to do the WIM boot. And that's the problem. We're trying to get the WIM boot to work. I've been working with PsyMonster just trying to get that to work.
Interesting.
And unfortunately, with the tools... It's a lot easier now to do WIM boot setup, but the problem that we run into is the WIM boot wants you plug in the USB drive. The when you run the setup with a WinBoot, it says, oh, I need power to be plugged in also. Even if it's got a full battery,
yeah.
It wants power. Well, on these devices, there's one USB port.
And that's the one where the power goes
in? That's the one where the power goes in. So you either have USB or power. And there's a couple ways you can work around it. Those have not worked with the Insignia Flex.
Just say, you can probably splice some cables together, maybe.
I don't want to be splicing cables.
Bring it over. I'll take out my soldering.
Oh, my God. No.
I could help you out with that. Come
tablet Stein.
Yeah. Frankenstein the cables to be able to make them work.
Exactly.
Not like I've ever done that before.
No, never.
Box.
But I'll say the Windows 10 Tech Preview on the HP Stream has been interesting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do they come with, obviously, SD card storage for extra
yes,
storage?
Yes, both of these have SD card. Unfortunately, with the HP Stream, you got to kind of pull off the back to get at the SD card, whereas the Flex, it's right on the top, which makes it very easy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yep. In fact, the Flex even came with a 16-gig card.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've already replaced it with a bigger card.
Yeah.
That was the one thing my 930 didn't come with was the SD card. I wish I could have a SD card in it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But
kind of cool, man. Random spending-wise for me, I honestly have been trying to be good right now.
Trying to be good?
Trying to be good.
Or is it more like the wife has put the lockdown or the
CFO? My financial officer has put down the gauntlet saying to curb spending for the next little while. I've got my eye at least on picking up, you know, something simple like your USB hub with.
Yes, you keep looking at that
thing. I know. I'm hoping you forget it. the Diamond USB hub with integrated Ethernet. It looks definitely very nice. We'll pick one of those things up. For other things, I'm just trying to be good because I also want to buy lots of beer stuff too. But I'm waiting.
We're looking at that conical fermenter.
Yes, that would be the closest thing. It's kind of blending beer talk and random spending.
Yes.
I managed to find a conical fermenter out of a company down in Oregon. You say Oregon. Is it Oregon?
Oregon.
Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Oregon?
I think Oregon. Back there is some old commercials that used to Oregon.
Anyway, he makes a bunch of different size capacities, and I've been eyeing a 14-gallon conical fermenter.
Mm-hmm.
For about $500. And with that, you can get an additional $250 insulated parka for it that includes...
From the North Face, I assume?
No, I don't know if it's North Face or if it's from REI or from MEC. But it includes a very interesting radiator coil that sits inside of the beer that is going through the conical fermenter. And then you simply attach those up to a separate cooling source. So they literally, to keep it cheap, suggest you just use a beer cooler full of ice water, and you have a submersible pump. And so basically it goes through and it circulates the cold water as required by the temperature controller device. It will cycle the pump on and off as required to get the beer cold down to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm theorizing that we could also go through with that guy there and make it so that you could hook up a second controller or modify the controller to have two controls, one for heat, one for cold, and put some passive heating on it.
Definitely.
That's in the future.
We'll
see where that guy then it goes off and doing it. But we're almost close to the end of the show there.
We are. We're going to need to get
We're leaving it kind of tight, but we're always looking to name the show. And in case you haven't figured it out yet because it's your first time or in case you've never had a chance to, Veronica was the person that got to choose the first name of the show for this week's episode. You're welcome to go ahead and to basically do a single word suggestion that is work safe that we can use in the chat room to name the next show. This one, in case you're wondering, was called Certifiable Deflatrius Chess. I think it might have been Deflatriot, but I think it's I call it Deflatrius.
Yes.
But that one there is possible to go through. Look at that. We've got...
Screw Fonty. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I like Fonz. Fonz is good. And we'll go with Fonz, iFixit, and how about Mayan? M-A-Y-A-N. Fonz, fix it.
I fix it.
Mayan. You got that covered? You got that written down?
I got that written down.
Did you write it down?
I think so.
Okay, write it down, man.
Hold on a second.
We got the bands coming in the door over here.
Oh my goodness.
Got to make sure that they get inside. Come on in, guys. Just sit over here.
The room's a little bit tighter this time, I know.
Yeah, you know, you can make it.
I want to say thank you very much to everyone inside the chat room, MKE077, Anthony Bartolo, all the guests that have joined us as well, PEI Dude, good luck shoveling it out, K.O. Beckman, the guy did, Sean Lowe, Chronic has joined us, it's the last one there, Tomka, Physio MVP, and I think the scroll bar is at the bottom, I can't tell,
it is.
I'll have to figure that out in the future, but hey man,
we're gonna wrap up. We do.
Thank you so much for joining us, buddy. See you next time.
Have a weekend.